أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آية نمبر 164 لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم Certainly, Allah conferred a great favor upon the believers when He sent among them a messenger from themselves. And this messenger, يتلو عليهم آياته He recites to them His verses. ويزكيهم And he also purifies them. And as for the purification that the Prophet ﷺ gave or did of his companions or taught to his companions was the tangible purification as well as the intangible one. The physical one, the hissi one, as well as the ma'nawi one. And as for the intangible purification, it is of two types. The internal as well as outward. The batin as well as the zahir. The batin, which relates to a person's character, a person's thoughts, a person's aqidah, and the zahir, a person's actions, a person's habits. So the Prophet ﷺ also purified them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ And he also teaches them the book and the wisdom. يُعَلِّمُ From the root letters عَيْن لَمْ مِيمْ تَعْلِيمْ And عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ تَعْلِيمْ is to teach gradually. To instruct gradually. And it is to impart knowledge. It's not just to inform, it's not just to tell somebody once, but it is to make sure that what you're informing the other person, they're actually learning it. They're actually learning it. And يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ He teaches them the book. تَعْلِيمُ الْكِتَابِ Teaching the book also is done in three ways. لَفْظِي مَعْنَوِي and hukmi or amali. Now a person may wonder that he recited the verses to them. How? In these three ways. And now again, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ He teaches them the book again in three ways. What's the difference between the two? Tilawa is like, you can say, like a lecture or like a khutbah. It's a general address. All that the speaker does is that he recites the verses or he tells the people about what is mentioned in the book of Allah, he reminds them. But ta'aleem is different. Ta'aleem is the process of learning and teaching. Ta'aleem is that you're not just reading yourself, but you're also making the student read. Tilawa is that you're just reading to the general people who are listening to you. And ta'aleem is that you're reading to them and you're also making them read. Why are you making them read? Why? To make sure that they have understood correctly. That they will be able to pass the message on as well. So one level is to just be a listener. To go and listen to a lecture here and there. The other level is of ta'aleem. It is to learn properly. To fully understand and comprehend what is being said. And that a person retains it, and then he is able to pass it on. Because until and unless a person internalizes what he has learned, he cannot pass it on. So ta'aleem is to prepare the other, to prepare the student, to be able to pass the message on. And also, tilawa is for everybody. Another difference is that tilawa is for everybody. So for instance, the Prophet ﷺ, he would give the khutbah, anybody would come, everybody would come and listen. But ta'aleem is for specific people. Those who have given their time, who have fixed a portion of their time. Why? So that they can learn the deen. They can study the deen. For instance, people would come, they would attend the khutbah, and they would leave. But there were some other people who would stay there, who would learn from the Prophet ﷺ, who would question him, who would ask him questions. And the Prophet ﷺ answered their questions, clarified the concepts to them. And he would also question them sometimes. Which is why in so many ahadith we learned the Prophet ﷺ, he would ask the Sahaba a question, and they would say, Allah and His Messenger know best. Why? Because that's the process of ta'aleem. Similarly, he would ask some companions to recite parts of the Qur'an to him. So, he didn't just recite the book to them, but he also taught them the book. He made them understand. He made them capable of passing the book on. He made them capable of passing the knowledge that they had learned from him on to other people. And this is why the learning and teaching of the book was not just limited to the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but it continued. It continued. And so we learned that the Sahaba, the companions, some of them in Makkah, some of them in Kufa, some of them in Medina, they taught the people over there. And they taught the Qur'an over there. Which is why we see that many times, for understanding the tafsir, you look at the statements of the companions. Why? Because they learned from the Prophet ﷺ and they taught people. So ta'aleem is different from tilawah. So يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and he also taught them the book. He also taught them the book of Allah. وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and also the wisdom. The Prophet ﷺ also taught hikmah to the people. What is hikmah? What does it literally mean? To put something in its right place in the manner that is appropriate for it. And then hikmah translates into knowing what to do, when to do, how to do, how much to do, where not to do. This is what hikmah is. So you can understand the text, but how will you be able to apply it when you have hikmah? So hikmah refers to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because the sunnah, which includes the words, the actions, the approvals of the Prophet ﷺ, they teach us as to how we should apply the book, how we should apply the commands that Allah has given. So in other words, you can say hikmah is the understanding, it is a comprehension of the text of the Qur'an. That is what hikmah is. We learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 113, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and Allah has revealed upon you the kitab as well as the hikmah. So Allah didn't just give the knowledge of the book to the Prophet ﷺ, but He also taught him hikmah, how to apply the book. Where, when, how much. وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, and indeed they were before that. Before what? Before the coming of the Messenger. Surely the people were in ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. They were in manifest error. They were in clear error. They were clearly heading towards their destruction. They were clearly away from the right path. What does this show us? That the four things that I've mentioned over here, what are they? Tilawa of the kitab. Secondly, tazkiyah. Thirdly, ta'limul kitab. And fourthly, ta'limul hikmah. These four things, if they are present in a people, if they are practiced by a people, then they are upon the right path. And if these four things are not present in a people, they don't practice these four things, then what does it mean? They are in ignorance and they are in misguidance. Ignorance and misguidance will prevail. Which four things? Tilawa, tazkiyah, ta'limul kitab, ta'limul hikmah. All are important. All are important. Sometimes our focus is only on tazkiyah. Sometimes when people are interested in religion, they are very interested in purification of the soul, purification of the heart. That is important. But before that, you have to know what the Quran says. Similarly, some people are only interested in tilawa and not ta'lim. Both are important. Similarly, some people are only focused on understanding the Quran and they neglect the hadith, they neglect the sunnah. All four are important. When a person pays attention to all four, then he is not in ضلال مبين. Also we learn from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the beginning, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Allah has bestowed a huge favor upon the believers. Why are the believers mentioned only? Because they are the ones who recognize this blessing. So this shows that when a person recognizes a blessing, only then he can benefit from it. And if a person denies the blessing, does not even acknowledge it, then how can he benefit from it? He cannot. We learn about Yusuf alayhi salam, that when he was thrown into the well by his brothers and the caravan, they picked him up, they were completely ignorant of him. And which is why they sold him for a few dirham. For a few dollars, you can say. Just a little money. Why? Because they did not know who he was. Had they known who he was, they would have dealt with him differently. They would have treated him differently. So this shows that if a person does not recognize the true value of something, then he deprives himself of benefiting from it. He deprives himself of benefiting from it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has bestowed a huge favor upon us, what are we required to do? What are we required to do? Just say, yes, yes, we have such a big blessing and feel proud about it? Huh? We should be grateful. If Allah is telling us, لَقَدْ مَنَّ, what should we do? Shukr. And part of shukr is what? Using the blessing, right? Benefiting from the blessing. So if the blessing is the messenger of Allah, what should we do? Learn from His example. Do what He came to teach us. That is shukr. Shukr is not just being proud of the blessing that Allah has given us, but rather it is benefiting from the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Also, we see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fully conveyed what he was supposed to. That he didn't just do tilawah, but he also gave ta'aleem. He didn't just do tilawah, but he also did ta'aleem. And it wasn't just that, but also tazkiyah and also hikmah. What does this show? That he fully and completely conveyed what he was required to. So it's not possible that a messenger would ever yaghul, that he would ever do ghulul. No, the Prophet conveyed. Recitation.
لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين.
أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها. Why is it that when a single disaster struck you on the day of Uhud, although you had struck the enemy in the battle of Badr with one twice as great, قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا, you said, from where is this? قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ, say, it is from yourselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, indeed Allah is over all things competent. أَوَلَمَّ is a combination of a, this is Hamza istifham, wa means and remember that this wow, and generally also the fa that comes at the beginning, afaman, this is known as atf. What does atf mean? It is joining the statement that is going to be said with the context or with something that was mentioned previously. Atf is to connect. And lamma, when. And over here, awa lamma gives a sense of why is it that when such and such happened, you said such and such. And this is a way of reprimanding someone. Why did you do this? Why did you say this? You're not asking why you said it, like, give me the reason. But why are you saying like that? In order to reprimand, in order to reproach. So over here, the people are being reproached that why is it that when lamma asabatkum, that when it afflicted you, it reached you, asabatkum from sad wa ba. What reached you? Musibatun. Musiba literally is one that reaches. And then, musiba is used for a misfortune, a disaster, a calamity. That when a disaster struck you, what does a disaster refer to? The defeat that you suffered at Uhud, O Muslims. And the loss of 70 companions, 70 Muslims. So why is it that when you were struck by a musibah, by a disaster, قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا, whereas, in fact, you had afflicted twice of it. You had afflicted twice of that musibah on who? On your enemy previously. مِثْلَيْهَا. مِثْلَي is actually مِثْلَيْن, dual of مِثْل. What does مِثْل mean? Similar to. So you were struck by a loss of 70 men. But in fact, previously, before, you had inflicted upon your enemy twice of what you suffered. You suffered 70. So what did your enemy suffer at your hands? 140. How? That at the Battle of Badr, you killed 70 of theirs, and you took 70 of theirs as captives as well. So you suffered one musibah, but you inflicted double musibah upon your enemy. So why is it that when this happened, قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا, why did you say أَنَّ هَذَا, where did this come from? How come this happened? What does it mean by this? أَنَّ هَذَا That how come we have suffered the loss of 70 companions? How come we have suffered a defeat? Why did you say that? أَنَّ هَذَا أَنَّ هَذَا gives a sense of مِنْ أَيْنَ لَنَا meaning how come we are suffering from this? You see, the companions at the Battle of Badr, they had been successful. And they knew that they were upon the truth. They knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help was with them. They knew that the messenger was among them. And obviously, they knew that they should be victorious. So when they suffered the musibah at Uhud, they said, how come we're suffering from this? How come we just suffered this? How come we lost? Why? Why did they say this? Out of amazement, out of shock, out of surprise, because they weren't expecting it at all. It's like when something goes wrong, something doesn't happen as you expected it to happen, you wonder, what happened? Why? But am I not right? Am I not right? I'm a believer, I'm a Muslim, so how come I lost? What does Allah say? قُلْ say, هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ It is from yourselves. It is because of yourselves. When a person suffers loss, when a person suffers from a disaster, immediately he thinks, why did Allah send this my way? Immediately a person thinks, why did Allah allow this for me? How come Allah doesn't want good for me? How come Allah wanted bad for me? Sometimes a person thinks like that. What does Allah say? It happened because of yourself. It happened because of your own fault. You brought this upon yourself. مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ It was your fault. How was it the fault of the Muslims that they lost at Uhud? What was their fault? What was their mistake? That first of all, they disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ. The archers who had been appointed at the mountain, what did they do? They disobeyed the command of the Prophet ﷺ. As we learned early in ayah number 153, حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ After you saw what you love. And if you look at it generally, in our lives, everything is going fine. And all of a sudden, we get distracted, we get diverted by something that we love. Something that we like, it comes in the way, and we forget our mission, we forget our purpose, we forget our goal. We reduce our ibadah, we ignore khushur in salah. Why? Because we can see something that we love. And then when we suffer from a problem, we say, why did this happen? It's because you got distracted by something that you love. It's your own fault. Like for instance, some people, they're very committed to the deen. Some women, some girls, very committed to the deen. They're very involved in their ibadah, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as soon as they get married, what happens? Things change. Similarly, they're wearing hijab, and now all of a sudden, afterwards, no hijab. They were praying salah, and afterwards, no salah. مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ And then when there's a problem, we wonder, why did this happen? How come this happened? What does Allah say? هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ It's because of you. It's your own fault. You did something wrong. You brought this upon yourself. Second, it has been said that هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ This fault refers to their insistence on going outside of Medina to fight the enemy, despite the fact that the Prophet ﷺ wished to defend from inside of Medina. So it's because of your own fault. And thirdly, it has been said, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said that huwa min indi anfusikum, this fault, it refers to what the Muslims took as ransom from the 70 captives, or in exchange for the 70 captives. Because remember that at Badr, they had killed 70 people, and they had taken 70 as captives as well. And then they released those captives in exchange for the ransom they received from the people of Mecca. But this decision was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disapproved of. And so as a punishment, as a consequence of their wrong action previously, what happened? They lost at Uhud. هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Indeed, Allah is able over everything. What does this ayah teach us? That when something goes wrong, when something does not go as planned, instead of blaming other people, or instead of questioning the decision of Allah, instead of questioning the will of Allah, the decree of Allah, what should we do? We should look at ourselves. We should question our own actions. Many times when something wrong happens, people say, "Oh Allah, why me? Why this? Why not this? How come?" And people feel so miskeen and so mazloom that, you know, as if all zulm is being done on them and they're so poor, they're so deprived, they're being treated so unjustly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being merciful towards them. That's not the case. What is the real problem? Huwa min indi anfusikum. It's because of yourself. So when something goes wrong, instead of blaming others, instead of blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should a person do? Look at himself. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And what struck you on the day the two armies met was by the permission of Allah, and that He might make evident the true believers. What is it that the Muslims suffered on that day? The defeat, the loss, the 70 martyrs. So whatever reached you, whatever struck you, when? يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ, on the day that the two groups met. إِلْتَقَى, from لَامْ قَافِيَةً, لَقِيَ to meet. إِلْتَقَى, he met, he confronted, encountered, who? الْجَمْعَانِ. جَمْعَانِ is a dual of جَمْ. Who are the two groups referring to? The army of the Muslims under the Prophet ﷺ and the army of the Mushrikeen. And which day is this? The day of the Battle of Uhud. So whatever you suffered on that day, anything that you suffered on that day, where did it come from? فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Then it happened by the permission of Allah. Meaning Allah allowed it to happen. And secondly, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and so that the believers may be known. فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. The word إِذْن is from the root letters Hamza Dal Nun. And إِذْن is to give permission, to allow something to happen, to allow something to take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's idhn is of two types. The first idhn is qadri. What does it mean by that? That which has to do with the creation or the universe or the decree. So for instance, we learn about Isa alayhi salam, that he was given the miracles. And wa iz tukhrijul mawta, when you brought out the dead. Similarly, when he made the bird, when he cured the leper, after all those miracles, what was said? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. So when he cured the sick, when he gave life to the dead, when he made something alive, how did that happen? By the permission of Allah. Allah allowed it to happen. And with regards to this type of idhn, it is not necessary that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows, He loves as well. For instance, the death of a person, the physical form of a person, the rizq of a person. All of this is what? With regards to qadr, with regards to decree. Right? So it's not necessary that everything that Allah has allowed, in this sense, He also loves it. So for instance, if the Muslim suffered loss at Uhud, yes, it happened by the permission of Allah, but it doesn't mean that He loves it, that He wanted this. Meaning, He allowed it, but it's not necessary that it is His will. The second type of idhn is idhn shari'i. What does it mean by that? When something is allowed in the sharia. So for example, we learn in Surah Yunus, ayah 59, قُلْ أَلَّهُ أَذِنَ لَكُمْ أَمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَفْتَرُونَ. That the mushrikun, they had made some foods halal and some foods haram. So Allah questions them, did Allah allow this for you? When it comes to matters of eating and drinking and praying and not praying and all of these things, acts of worship, what do they fall under? The sharia. So, the idhn of Allah in that respect is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted in the sharia. And when it comes to shari'i idhn, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed in the sharia, that is what Allah loves. Whatever that Allah has allowed in the sharia, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So over here when Allah says, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it happened by the permission of Allah, what does it mean? Which idhn is this? Qadri. It's not a law of the sharia. It's not a law with regards to praying and fasting and eating. No. What is this? Decree. Like whatever happens. So similarly, if a person does something wrong and because of that he failed his exam, what kind of idhn is that? Idhn? Qadri. Not shari. Qadri. So Allah allowed it, but it's not necessary that He loves it. Because many people confuse between the two. If something wrong happens in their life, if they're going through a difficulty, they think Allah hates them. That Allah doesn't like me. This is what people think. But the fact is Allah allowed it. And whenever Allah allows something, there's always a reason behind it. There's always some wisdom behind it. So over here, if Allah allowed your defeat, what was the reason? وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So that the believers are known. يَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ He knows the believers. Doesn't Allah already know the true believers? Of course He does. But remember, ilm is of two types. Ilm of idraq, to perceive something, and ilm of zuhur, that what you know, you make it known. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives reward or punishment, He doesn't just give it on the basis of what He knows from before, but He gives it when a person does something, when it's actually carried out. So, وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And so that He knows the believers, meaning He knows who the true and sincere believers are. Because up until now, the hypocrites and the believers, they were mixed. They weren't distinguished. People were pretending to be believers, but they weren't clearly known. And when Abdullah ibn Ubay, he left with 300 companions, they went back to Medina. What did that show? That these people are not sincere. These people are not sincere. And those people who stayed along with the Prophet ﷺ, especially the 13 companions who were with the Prophet, defending him, and those companions who stayed on their posts, Abdullah ibn Jubayr, and a few who stayed with them, that showed that these people are really the true sincere believers. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا And that He might make evident those who are hypocrites. So the reason why He allowed this was so that the believers are clearly known and the hypocrites are also clearly known. الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا Those people who were hypocritical. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ And it was said to them. It was said to who? It was said to the hypocrites. What was said to them? تَعَالَوْ Come. قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ Come and fight in the way of Allah. Meaning come and actively fight the enemy. And if you don't want to do that, أَوِدْفَعُوا Or you should defend. إِدْفَعُوا is from the root letters دَالْ فَعِين دَفْ And دَفْ is to repel something, to drive something away, to push something away. So أَوِدْفَعُوا or at least defend. What does it mean by this? قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوِدْفَعُوا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Clear. That come and fight along with the Muslims. Who? The enemy. And if you don't want to do that, at least defend. What does it mean by this, that at least defend? This has been understood in a number of ways. First of all, it has been said that defend, meaning at least defend the Muslims by increasing their numbers. By increasing their numbers. If you're not going to actively fight, just be there. Just be there. Because when the number is great, then obviously the enemy is going to be fearful. So at least defend by being present, by just showing up. Even if you don't want to do something, just show up. Secondly, it has been said that awidfa'u, or defend how? By praying, by making dua. That if you don't want to come yourself, then at least make dua for the success of the Muslims. Why are you turning against your own people? At least defend. When was this said to the hypocrites? It is said that when Abdullah ibn Ubay, he retreated with 13 of his companions, Abdullah ibn Hizam, he went to advise him and to discourage him from leaving. So Abdullah ibn Hizam, he went to Abdullah ibn Ubay to advise him, to discourage him from going. But what happened? Abdullah ibn Ubay, he gave excuses and he said, nobody listened to us in the first place. We wanted to stay inside Medina and they wanted to go outside Medina. They didn't take our suggestion, so too bad, we're not going to cooperate with them. Another excuse that they offered was, we don't know how to fight. We're not fighters. And this is such a big lie. Because the people of Medina, the Aus and Khazraj, they had been fighting for years and years. Such a big lie. He said, we don't know how to fight. So Allah says, وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوِدْفَعُوا It was said to them, come and fight, and if you don't want to do that, then at least defend. What was their reaction? قَالُوا, they said, meaning the hypocrites, they said, لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. Had we known how to fight, we would have followed you. We would have come with you. لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا. If we knew how to fight, then we would come and participate in the battle. And this is an excuse made by those people who don't want to do something. It's like you go tell somebody, can you please bring this for me? Can you please bring this book for me from such and such bookshelf? They will go and they will come back, can't find it. And you go and you find it there. Similarly, you tell them to iron their clothes and they say, I don't know how to iron. Can you do your laundry? I don't know how to turn the machine on. Can you mop the floor? I don't know how to. So this is an excuse made by someone who does not want to do something. Because someone who wants to do something, someone who is determined, he will find a way. When you're determined to do something, then you will find a way. And when you don't want to do something, then you will present excuses. So they said, لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. If we knew how to fight, we would have come with you. This has been understood in several ways as well. First of all, that if we knew qital, meaning if we knew how to fight, we would come with you. Secondly, that if we knew that there is really going to be a battle outside of the city, then we would have come with you. Meaning we didn't know that there was really going to be a battle, and we're not coming anymore. Whereas the fact is that it was quite clear that the Muslims were going to participate in the battle. At the Battle of Badr, what happened? The Muslims didn't set out to fight the enemy. It was just by chance that the battle occurred. Thirdly, it has been said that لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ, that if we knew this to be qital, then we would have come with you. But the fact is that what you're going towards, what you're heading towards, is not qital. This is qatl. Meaning what you're heading into is not a battle, but rather this is suicide. Why are they saying that? That look at your numbers and look at their numbers. Look at your preparation and look at their preparation. So if you're going into such a battle, you're going to get yourselves killed. So we're not coming with you on this journey, on this expedition. لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَاتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. What does Allah say? هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. هُمْ, they, meaning the munafiqun. They were lil kufri, to the kufr, meaning ilal kufr, to disbelief. Yawma idhin, on that day. Which day? The day that the two armies met, the day of Uhud. On that day, they were to kufr aqrabu, closer. Aqrabu is from qurb, meaning they were closer to kufr on that day, minhum, than them, meaning than the believers, lil iman, to the iman. In other words, they were closer to disbelief on that day than iman. Because up until that point, they had been outwardly revealing iman. They had been outwardly revealing Islam. But when they refused to go with the Muslims, when they refused to stay with the Prophet ﷺ, what happened? Their kufr, it became evident. It became evident. So هُمْ لِلْكُفْرِ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَقْرَبُ مِنْهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. يَقُولُونَ, they were saying, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, by their mouths, مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, what was not actually in their hearts. They were saying from their tongues, from their mouths, what was not actually in their hearts. And this is the trait of the hypocrite. What? Contradiction between the heart and the tongue. What were they saying which was not actually in their hearts? First of all, the excuse that they made, we don't know how to fight. Whereas in their hearts, it was actually something else. It was actually another reason as to why they weren't coming along. Similarly, it has been said that يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ. They were saying with their mouths that they were Muslims, that they were along with the Muslims, they had sided with the Muslims, they were supporting the Muslims. مَا لَيْسَ بِقُلُوبِهِمْ, what is not actually in their hearts, meaning they were only pretending to be supporters of the Muslims, whereas actually in their hearts they were enemies to Islam. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ, and Allah is most knowing of whatever they conceal. What were they concealing? Hypocrisy. What does this ayah show? What does this ayah teach us? That a person who makes excuses for not practicing the deen or for not working for the deen, what is he doing? He is showing his hypocrisy. A person who presents excuses, false excuses, not genuine, but false excuses for not working for the deen or for not practicing the deen, what is he showing? His hypocrisy. So for example, a woman, she does not wear the hijab, and instead of acknowledging the fact that she's doing something wrong, what does she say? Oh, there is no hijab in Islam. This is just something in the Arab culture. Where is it mentioned in the Quran? It's not mentioned in the Quran. Whereas clearly it's mentioned. Similarly, the hypocrites, what did they do? They said, we don't know how to fight. Whereas actually they knew how to fight. So when a person presents false excuses, lame excuses, do not practice the deen, do not support the deen, do not work for the deen, then actually he's showing nifaq. There is nifaq inside that is preventing him from going further. Also we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exposes the true believers and he exposes those people who have nifaq through difficult situations. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ Those who said about their brothers. Who? Who does الَّذِينَ refer to? The hypocrites, the munafiqun. They said لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ to their brothers. لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ has been understood as about their brothers. First of all, that they said about their brothers. Which brothers? In their nasab. And these brothers, meaning they had died in the battle. As we learned earlier that about 66 Ansar, they were martyred in the battle of Uhud. So these hypocrites, they said about their brothers, meaning their brothers in nasab, what? That لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا. That had they obeyed us, they would not have been killed. Remember that when Abdullah ibn Ubay left with 300 people, what happened? Two clans of the Aus and Khazraj, they also intended to leave. إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَ Remember? They were about to leave as well. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them confidence and they stayed along with the Prophet. So Abdullah ibn Ubay and his companions later on in Medina, out of sorrow, out of regret for those people who had been killed, especially of the Ansar, especially those who belonged to Aus and Khazraj, they said that had they obeyed us, meaning had they come back with us, had they stayed at home with us, they would not have been killed. Secondly, it has been said that الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ It means to their brothers. Which brothers? Meaning their brothers in nifaq. So at home, they are discussing with one another. They are talking to each other. So they said to their brothers, وَقَعَدُوا While they sat down. قَعَدُوا is from the root letters قَافْ عِنْدَال قَعَدَ means to sit, قُعُود to sit. So قَعَدُوا they themselves sat. Sat where? At home. It doesn't mean literally they were sitting on the ground, but what it means is that they stayed behind at home. It's an expression used for someone who is very lazy and who doesn't do anything. You know, a person who is very lazy, they're just sitting. They don't move, they don't get up, they don't walk about. And a person who is active, what do? They don't sit. Like some people, sometimes they're old, they're very ill, but because they're used to being very active, they cannot stay put. They cannot stay sitting. They have to move about. They have to walk about. So وَقَعَدُوا While they themselves stayed back at home, they didn't go forth for the battle. What do they say about their brothers? That لَوْ أَطَاعُونَ Had they obeyed us, مَا قُتِلُوا They would not have been killed. So in other words, they shouldn't have gone for the battle. Just like we didn't go. We didn't go, our lives were saved. They went, they got killed. We didn't go, we're perfectly fine at home, comfortable. Our children are happy, house is nice and clean, because we're at home. And those people who went, look at their children, look at their houses. So لَوْ أَطَاعُونَ مَا قُتِلُوا What does Allah say? قُلْ سَيْ فَدْرَؤُوا أَنفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If you're truthful, then try to avert death from yourself. How long will you live? You're not going to live forever. فَدْرَؤُوا is from the root letters دَال غَا هَمْزَة We did the word فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah. إِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا When you killed a person, and then فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا, you argued with regards to who the murderer was, and then the incident of the cow took place. So دَرْ literally is to avert. It is to remove something harmful with full force. It is to push something away, to push something harmful away from oneself by full force. And then إِدَّارَأَ is to quarrel, it is to disagree. Why? Because a person is pushing the blame away from him. Over here, قُلْ فَدْرَأُ, meaning avert, push away, defend yourself from what? الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you're truthful. If you're truthful in what? In your claim that staying back will save you from dying. That staying back will keep you healthy. That staying back will keep everything fine for you. There are people who stay at home and they still die. There are people who stay at home and their houses still get very dirty. There are people who stay at home and still their children are very spoiled. So it's not necessary that when a person goes out in the way of Allah, only then he suffers loss. No. A person suffers loss even when at home. So why should a person stay back from increasing in his darajat in the akhirah? Because of the risk of what might happen. And that risk, a person could suffer even when he's not doing anything. It is said that many of the hypocrites who did not go to the battle of Uhud, they died in their own houses soon after this ayah. They died in their own houses. Recitation?
أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أنى هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَوْ ادْفَعُوا قالوا لو نعلم قتالا لاتبعناكم هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منهم للإيمان يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا قل فادرؤوا عن أنفسكم الموت إن كنتم صادقين.
So what do we learn from these ayat? We see that when the Prophet ﷺ in the Battle of Uhud, when there was a lot of chaos and the Muslims, they were running away, استصعدون ولا تلوون, and you wouldn't look back, على أحد والرسول يدعوكم. So in that situation, what happened? There were only a few companions who were trying to defend the Prophet ﷺ, and among them was also a woman, Amara. So sometimes we underestimate ourselves and we think that we're not obligated to serve the deen as women. It's not our responsibility. It's not our obligation. It's the duty of the men. But don't underestimate yourself. Prepare yourself. Because you don't know what tawfiq may Allah give you to defend His deen, to serve His deen. Look at the difference that one woman made at that time. She suffered so many wounds in defense of the Prophet ﷺ. What else do we learn? We learn that there are different ways through which people stop others from the way of Allah. صَدٌ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And one of the ways is by discouraging people from going out in the way of Allah, from learning the deen, from spreading the deen, from making other people knowledgeable about the deen, discouraging them. So for instance, when the Sahaba went, the Munafiqun, they came back, and because of them, some people were about to lose their heart as well. And after the loss, what happened? The Munafiqun, they're discussing, that had they obeyed us, they would not have suffered this loss. So one of the ways of stopping people from the way of Allah is by discouraging them, by saying that, look at me, I'm not doing anything and I'm fine, I'm living such a happy life, and you, because you're going to school, because you're doing this, look, your life is such a mess. No, it's possible that your life would be a mess otherwise as well. But again, remember that when you are working for the deen, you are serving the deen, you must not neglect other things as well. What is your obligation. You cannot escape that. And one more important lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed a huge favor upon the believers when He sent among them a messenger. And remember that the messengers, they don't leave behind dinar and dirham. What do they leave behind? Knowledge, deen. So their heirs, the heirs of the messengers are who? Al-ulama. Al-ulama, warathatul anbiya. They are the heirs of the prophets. So for us, one of the best ways of following the Prophet ﷺ is in doing tilawa of the ayat, in doing tazkiyah, in giving ta'aleem of kitab, in giving ta'aleem of hikmah. And we as women, this is something that is more relevant to us, much easier for us compared to going for jihad, right? And obviously today's jihad is that of ilm. And this is something that we need to focus on. Because you might wonder, why is this ayah mentioned in the middle of ayat of the Battle of Uhud? Because this is also something very important. What else do we learn? Knowing that the Sahaba, they had to give up their lives and their families for the sake of Allah, out of shame, we should do something as well. We should also give something to the deen of Allah. Look at how much they gave. And a person can come up with many, many excuses, but Allah knows what we are capable of doing. Like for instance, a person can say, he can make excuses, I cannot come to school every day because of such and such reason. I cannot memorize a lesson because of such and such reason. And they could be excuses. But a person should be careful that whatever excuse I'm making, Allah knows the reality. Allah knows the reality. I can tell my friend and she won't say anything to me again. She won't tell me again to come to school. I can tell my group in charge that I cannot do this anymore, and she won't say anything to me ever again. But Allah knows my reality. At the end of the day, I'm accountable to Allah. And hum darajatun, that people who ittaba'a ridwan Allah, they have darajat, and they aspire for more darajat. But the hypocrites, when they see that somebody has gained that daraja, they say, alhamdulillah, I'm saved. لَوْ أَطَاعُونَ مَا قُتِلُوا. Because the focus of the hypocrite is not the akhirah, it's the benefit of this dunya. And whatever is written for us is written for us. We cannot avert it from us. فَدْرَوْا عَنْفُسِكُمُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You cannot avert death. You cannot avert anything harmful from yourself. Whatever is decreed is decreed. It is going to come. So isn't it better it comes in the way of Allah? And we need to take a step and do something for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah, to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you take a step, then Allah will take 10 steps towards you. And despite the fact that the hypocrites concealed in their hearts their true feelings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed them. And their reality was known by the fact that they stayed behind from the Battle of Uhud. So sometimes we might conceal feelings in our hearts, we might hide them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make them known to other people. And that is the greatest humiliation, insult, in this dunya and also in the akhirah.
If all of you look at verse 164, we talked about that there's four things that if a nation knows them, or if a nation has the knowledge of them, then they will be successful. And they are, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And I don't know if any of you realize this or not, but our syllabus is based on this verse. And so all the subjects that we teach in this course, they're equally important for us to be successful. And so you have to attend all your classes and make sure that you take full benefit from them. Because if you don't, if you're missing even one part, then you're missing out on the four subjects of success.
Very, very true, because sometimes we only focus on what we like, what we enjoy, what is maybe new to us. And we don't give much importance to the other subjects, but all of them are important. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses from the beginning.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا
تكونوا كالذين كفروا وقالوا لإخوانهم إذا ضربوا في الأرض أو كانوا غزا لو كانوا عندنا ما ماتوا وما قتلوا ليجعل الله ذلك حسرة في قلوبهم والله يحيي ويميت والله بما تعملون بصير ولئن قتلتم في سبيل الله أو متتم لمغفرة من الله ورحمة خير مما يجمعون ولئن متتم أو قتلتم لإلى الله تحشرون فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين إن ينصركم الله فلا غالب لكم وإن يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعده وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون وما كان لنبي أن يغل ومن يغلل يأت بما غل يوم القيامة ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون أفمن اتبع رضوان الله كمن باء بسخط من الله ومأواه جهنم وبئس المصير هم درجات عند الله والله بصير بما يعملون لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين أولما أصابتكم مصيبة قد أصبتم مثليها قلتم أنى هذا قل هو من عند أنفسكم إن الله على كل شيء قدير وما أصابكم يوم التقى الجمعان فبإذن الله وليعلم الذين نافقوا وقيل لهم تعالوا قاتلوا في سبيل الله أو ادفعوا قالوا لو نعلم قتالا لاتبعناكم هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منهم للإيمان يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون الذين قالوا لإخوانهم وقعدوا لو أطاعونا ما قتلوا قل فادرءوا عن أنفسكم الموت إن كنتم صادقين
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله